Anybody in check?
Shall we put it to any other nominations?
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Dr. Carrie Brown.
Can I get a second?
Second.
I would assume we can vote because it's a matter of public record without having secret ballots.
All those in favor of Paul for president? All those in favor of Carrie for president?
Yours?
President, take over. We now need to nominate vice president.
Drew Schoenfeld.
I'd like to make a nomination for Paul for vice president. Second?
I second that.
All those in favor? Any others? All those in favor?
I'd like to nominate Lillian for vice president.
I'll second that.
Let's see, all those in favor of Paul for vice president? Okay, now all those in favor of Lillian?
I'd like to tender my resignation as vice president.
Good job.
Congratulations.
At least you know where you've got things.
We recommend to the board that we make a motion to appoint Kate Madison, the clerk of the board.
Second.
Tom seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? Recommend Beth Coase as the district treasurer. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Am I going too fast, Kate?
No, but it's a two-part. B is a two-part.
Okay. Also recommend the board appoint Lori Kenny as deputy treasurer.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend appointment of school tax collector to Catherine Erickson. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the appointment of internal claims auditor to Susan Warnke. Also recommend the board appoint Sue Warnke for internal claims auditor for the school lunch program.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Under other appointments, appointment of school physician, recommend that the board approve the Family Health Center as our school physician. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend that the appointment of the school attorneys to be Gervin and Filazzo.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the appointment of central treasurer comptroller for Lynn McNeil and for extra classroom activity.
No. Three different people.
Let me reread it.
There's a second part to that.
Okay, yep, I see that. Thank you. Recommend the appointment for Lynn McNeil as central treasurer for extra classroom activity. Recommend the board appoint Tammy Silvernall as the comptroller for extra classroom activity and Colleen Lester as an alternate comptroller for the July 1, 2012 to June 30, 2013.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Appointment of attendance office, recommend the board appoint Catherine Corbin as the attendance officer for the period July 1 to June 30th. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Appointment of records management officer and records access officer. Recommend the board appoint Lori Kenny as records management officer and access officer.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend appointment of insurance consultant. Recommend the board appoint W. Joseph McPhillips, agency and insurance consultant. Any discussion?
Yeah, what insurance?
Utica, no, not Utica.
Yeah, Utica National. It's our basic liability umbrella insurance.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the appointment of independent auditor. Recommend the board appoint Jenkins, Beecher, and Bethel, LLP, certified public accountants as the school district auditor.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the appointment of the Title IX and Section 50 officer. Recommend the board approve Tammy Silvernall. You're going to be pretty busy there, aren't you? As the Title IX officer and Kathy Fields as the 504 officer for the period July 1, 2012 to June 30, 2013.
Second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the appointment of asbestos LEA designee. Recommend the board appoint Raymond Durant.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Second, sorry.
Recommend that the appointment of the chief information officer for the board to appoint Chris Eastman.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the board appoint Kate Madison as the system administrator for WinCap Financial Software.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me, Carrie.
Yeah.
Our bond council wasn't listed on here. Is there any way that I can get it added to this, or is it too late?
You can add it after L.
Okay. All right.
Make it out. L is next. It's on the agenda.
I'm not sure. Did we have discussion with Kate about? Did we get everyone there? On the addendum under L, recommend the appointment of impartial hearing officer. That we Designate the superintendent, Vincent Canini, as the board designee to authorize and approve the IHO appointments and special education impartial hearings immediate upon the selection and acceptance of the board's compensation policy pursuant to the regulations of the commissioner. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Right, yeah.
I recommend that Bartlett, Pontus, and Rick Rhodes are the school district's bond counselors.
Any?
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Carrie, could you repeat that? You must use your microphone.
I'm going to ask Vince to repeat it.
Bond counsel is Bartlett, Pontus, Stewart, and Rhodes, head of Glens Falls. They've been in the council for, what, 2 years? It was just omitted for some reason.
I think we had a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Back to the regular one, yeah. Recommend the official bank depositories Recommend the board designate Glens Falls National Bank and Trustco and Chase Manhattan Bank and official depositories for the period of July 1 to June 30th.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the below board meetings as our official designated regular board meetings. Do you want me to read those off, the dates? Are we good with that?
Okay. We tried to switch them to the second Tuesday of every month to be consistent, mm-hmm. but I just mentioned to Beth before the meeting, the 14th of August may be too early to set the tax rate, so as that approaches, we may postpone it for 1 week, but we'll let everybody know, we'll put an ad in the paper. But as of right now, the 14th, if everything comes in and we can set the tax rate, we'll do it as of the 14th. Other than that, everyone is the second Tuesday, even that one is Friday, you know, second Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend that the board approve the Eagle, the Post Star, and the Bennington Banner as our official newspapers. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend the board designate the following channels, you can look at those, for our official school closings. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Under authorization, certification of payroll, recommend the board authorize the superintendent of schools to certify all payrolls for the period July 1 to June 30th. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Under purchasing agent, recommend the board authorize Beth Coates to act as purchasing agent for the period July 1 to June 30th.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Attendance and workshops and conferences. Recommend the board authorize the Board of Education members to attend approved workshops and conferences with expenses for the period July 1, 2012 to June 30, 2013. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent to approve expenses of faculty and staff to attend conferences within budgetary allotments for the period July 1 through June 30th.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend that the board authorize and establish a petty cash fund of $300 to cover gate receipts for the business office and $150 for the lunch fund for the period July 1, 2012 to June 30, 2013.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Designation of signatures on check. Recommend the board designate signatures of Beth Copes, district treasurer, or Lori Kenny, deputy treasurer, on district checks for the period July 1, 2012 to June 30, 2013.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? Budget transfers. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent of schools to approve budget transfers in accordance with policy 6150. Any discussion? All those in favor? Contracts and grants and aid. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent to sign contracts and apply and sign for grants and aid.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Oh, I thought you raised your hand.
No, I just did. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Collection of school taxes. Recommend the board authorize Glens Falls National Bank and Trust Co., Cambridge branch, to collect district tax payments at no charge as a service to the school district and taxpayers for the July 1, 2012 and June 30, 2013. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Bonding of personnel. Recommend the board authorize faithful performance blanket position bond in the amount of $50,000 for the district treasurer, $100,000 for the district tax collector, and $10,000 for all employees responsible for district funds for the period July 1, 2012 through June 30, 2013.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Other items. Payroll schedule. Recommend the board adopt a payroll schedule of biweekly payments for the period July 1 through June 30th, and as agreed to by the Cambridge Faculty Association and the CSEA local unit. Any discussion? All those in favor? Mileage rates. Recommend the board establish the current IRS mileage rate for authorized personnel and members of the Board of Education for use of private vehicles on district business for a period of July 1 to June 30, 2013.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Recommend under substitute teacher rate and bus driver, recommend the board establish a daily rate for substitute teachers for period July 1, 2012 through June 30, 2013 as follows. Certified teacher, $90. 4-year degree, no certification, $75. Less than 4 years, no certification, $60. Bus drivers, $11 per hour. Any discussion? All those in favor? Tuition rate. Recommend the board set the non-resident regular school tuition rate for the 2012-2013 school year based on the Seneca Falls formula for the full day, K through 6, $5,525, and full day 7 through 12, $6,644. Any discussion? All those in favor? Recommend under the policies and code of ethics that the board readopt all policies and code of ethics in effect. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Indemnification and legal defense resolution. Recommend the board approve the indemnification and legal defense resolution for the period July 1, 2012 through June 30, 2013. Any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you for your help with that. So we're adjourning the reorganization meeting, and now we're going into the regular scheduled board meeting.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion in them? Okay. All those in favor? So Vince, this other addendum goes with the new business, correct?
Yep.
call it to order the new meeting? Sorry, I don't know the transition piece. Recommend the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 18, 2012.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yep. On page 24, I would like the, on the contract vote. On page 24, hold on, maybe I have the wrong page, 1 second. No, on the bottom of the page, on the contract vote, I would like the names recorded, please, of the votes.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I think that was an all board aye.
Just making sure.
Okay. At this time, are there any public comments? Okay. At this time, the superintendent and administrative reports.
I just have a couple of things. The Booster Club has made a request that we sell some ads that would hang on, like, the fences at the football games and stuff, so I thought I'd bring that up. It's one of those things that we haven't done in the past that I'm aware of. So, obviously, it's something that they wish to get started on, but if you, since I haven't had any discussion or whatever, and it's not on the agenda for an action item, we can move that it be voted on at the next board meeting, or if you feel comfortable to do it now, that's fine. But it's one of those things that, as they're trying to raise money for funds, even though later on I'll explain what happened, they still want to try to have something in the, no matter what happens with the sports in the future, it's still not in the budget. So they want to try to have some sort of a war chest or whatever ready if in the event that sports are not able to be added back in for the 13-14 school year.
Can we have some sort of criteria to work with?
Something
you can prepare for us?
Yeah.
Is Penny here?
Penny.
Hi.
Hi.
What we've done was a presentation from AA Graphics. They will do a 3x6 banner, vinyl, grommeted, and they will hang them for us so that they will be uniform. They won't be looking all askew and whatever. And they will do all of the layout, so everything will be very uniform and very much the same all the way across. So, for example, the explanation that I was giving was that if we got, like, King's Car Care, for example, to purchase a sponsorship, then he would give us his logo, and this company would then put the graphics together and then create the banner and hang the banner.
Have you consulted on this?
I mentioned it to him. He didn't seem to have an issue with it, as he said, but he wanted to see how they were going to be attached to the fence.
We would love to help you guys. I think my only concern is that we just have, the board has final say over what products get advertised to the students.
Oh, sure. Do you have something that... I'm kind of looking around, sitting in the shadows. Do you have something that you want to shy away from? Like, say, if D% wanted to advertise, you have to advertise Pepsi, not Coors Light. Is that
exactly.
Where you want to network?
Exactly.
Not smoking.
You know, probably even stuff like, stuff in accordance with our health and wellness policies, you know, probably energy drinks are going to be a tempting one to advertise to athletes. And again, I'm speaking for myself, this is something I think the board would need to discuss, but something like that, that's starting to tread a little bit, possibly across the line, because our health and wellness policy says that we're supposed to discourage sugary drinks and caffeinated drinks. It doesn't say we ban them or don't allow them, we're just discouraging, but if we're allowing advertisements for them to be displayed to athletes and to people viewing the game, then that's kind of potentially a violation. So that's, you know, and then whatever, we'll see who wants to advertise. That's just off the top of my head.
Seems tacky to me, that's all. I don't like the idea at all. If the board goes for it, I I'm not going to argue too much, but it just seems tacky. And I don't, what do we do, get to rename the football field if Coke wants it? I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem, what's the legality of the whole thing? Are schools allowed to advertise?
You can put ads on the side of the buses if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. It just sounds tacky, but Little League is one thing, and I had ads when I owned a business, but this is a school. It just seems wrong to me. But I understand why we need to do it.
I think we're going more along the lines of business sponsorships, not products.
Right.
It's on the same line as like Little League Field and other athletic fields where there are the enclosures hanging there, cat posters with the banners hanging there, advertising their product. That's really going on. We would be the first one in the school that have done it that same thing. How long is somebody else doing it?
Would this be done season to season? Would it be done for on an annual basis where the people pay and it gets placed there for an entire year or indefinitely?
I think it would be a school season is what we were looking at, as opposed to trying to do a sports season, because then it would be a lot of changing of the banners, a lot of taking down, putting up, that kind of thing, just to try to eliminate that much hectic stuff going on and keeping track of. If they all go up at the same time and they all come down at the same time, it would eliminate some confusion, I think.
How about vandalism? What about if a banner's ripped? What happens? I mean, there's a lot of little issues that are going to come up. I'm not sure I'm ready to. If the other people are, that's fine. I'm not ready to go up and down. It just seems like there's some issues that need to be dealt with.
I think I'm wondering, Deb, I know you're here and I hate to put you on the spot, but what your thoughts are as the athletic director in regards to this?
I've been involved with the whole conversation. It came up as one of our fundraising ideas, and again, we're trying to get close to a family who may want to advertise. We support Cambridge Athletics, you know, if they're willing to do it. I think we need to be very careful not to have products on our fences that are harmful for the children. It's the first time we've talked about it, so we're trying to see if it's a great thing as possible.
We also thought we'd let the people decide, you know, somebody might want to be on the girls' soccer field, not on the football fence, or they might want to be on the boys' baseball fence, and staying in the families, you know, if you have all boys, you might, if you don't want to be on the girls' soccer, some of the girls only play soccer. So we thought we could hit different venues by supporting the different fields that are on the top of.
I would like to open it up for the administrators for their input as well.
I think you have to be weary, and I think Deb is right about making sure that any of the advertising is appropriate. I think that the Booster Club and whatever the approval process is, that there is an approval process for how that is going to take place. Because if we assume it's going to be approved one way and that's not the actual procedure, I think we could wind up in a sticky situation.
Yeah, Tammy, are you thinking that perhaps maybe that there's an approval process that goes through both the Booster Club and the administrators?
That's
the school.
Yeah, that there needs to be conversation along the way with each decision that's made. And I think the board should have an opportunity to weigh in on that decision as well. I think you're right.
Just setting parameters. I would be concerned with the liability issue with the vandalism. Are we now carrying that insurance cost? Is that now our responsibility? Do we have, if it gets vandalized, do we have to reimburse them? It's our property.
That would have to be part of the agreement that it's not
right.
Our responsibility. I don't have a problem doing it, but I guess it gets to the point too with, and then I didn't think of it until now, but what happens inside in the gym? Are we going to sell banners for inside of the gym as well? And that may be an issue. Just outside?
Is it a written contract? Will it be a written contract?
Will it be a written contract? They're shaking their heads, yes.
We haven't heard from two board members yet.
I don't have any problem with it as long as it's appropriate. You know, we don't obviously want Bud Light up there or cigarettes, you know. But if it's something appropriate that everybody will be agreeing to, I don't see any problem with it.
I don't have a problem either. I just would like to see parameters, like you're saying, like just exactly like what the guidelines are.
I would rather stay away from products and go with businesses.
Yeah, I really like that idea.
I like that too,
yeah.
Local business.
And I also like the idea of what you were talking about, Tammy, with just really making sure that there's a contract and that there's sign off and all of that. So are we putting this up for a motion for vote? Let's put it up for a motion.
If you want to vote on it, that's...
One more question, Bruce.
Sure.
Our booster club will set the price.
It's a fundraiser.
Okay.
I have a question. I don't know how much these cost, but what do we get out of each banner?
That the booster club we have will be setting the rate on what it costs us and what we charge the vendor.
And it would be going to you.
And the money would be going to the booster club, who then is trying, like Ben said earlier, trying to save the war chest for next September. So we have 12 months to raise money now, 2 months.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Colleen.
What happens if they have the ambulance? Who has to replace them or like take care of them? Or
that what they had mentioned about the liability of the school, we would have to do something in the contract with the person who purchased it about one of the schools not liable, but I don't have an answer off the top of my head what we would do with the...
Well, they're just at a level that is easily accessible to students and people who are here after hours and nights and weekends when there isn't any supervision. And I hate to see the booster club end up losing money because they have to pay to replace things that are damaged in the course of kids.
We honestly haven't thought through that. Yes.
And I think just in general, this particular vendor would probably help us to replace them. They would already have the graphics, for example, so it would really just be the materials that would be the cost to the vendor, which I think we could work out with them, but that would be something that we could discuss with the vendor.
How about this? Would this work for you guys if tonight we just kind of said, okay, let's proceed, and give Vince the task, whoever he wants to sign with you guys, to actually work out the contract? We'll get that a week or so before the next meeting, review it, then nitpick it specifically as to what's in it or not, and then vote on it next meeting in August. Will that slow you down?
That's fine.
I would move that we do that.
Yeah.
All right, we're on the agenda for next time. The second item that I have for discussion, because we haven't had this come up before, let me jump down in, what is it, number C. We have received, the Senate has freed up some extra funding, and all along when we were doing the budget workshops, I said that as the items were taken out of the budget, that's the way I would restore them. This is a one-time shot of influx of money. It's going to be $100,000. And my first recommendation is to restore the sports that were cut. The next thing that I would like to bring up next month for a vote, I'm not going to do it now, is one of the items that were cut out of the extracurricular was the yearbook for the elementary. And I'd like to see that reinstated if we could. It's just something that I'm sure everybody has started to develop, and you know, as the students go through the grades, they get a continuum of the product. So I've talked with Jenny Anderson, who does the yearbook, and I told her that I didn't bring it up this meeting, but this was more of a discussion because it was not ever discussed with the board before. So next month I will bring it up for a vote, but just if anybody has any questions, I'll answer those at this point.
I just think it's a really good idea. I agree. I think that you presented to the community that that's the way you're going to do it, and I think that we need to support you on that. Yeah.
The yearbook, we were going to try to do one, and then after talking with Jen, one really doesn't work. It'll make it too expensive, and there are people that don't want one of the levels, so that's why I felt this would be the next activity that would be replaced. The next thing on my agenda, and I probably should have given Amy a little warning because she has to turn on her You want Randy to go first, because he'll be quick too, and you get set up, or are you ready to go?
I think I'm ready if you want me to go.
Okay.
If I know how to turn this on, do I just hit this power button?
The power button, yeah. It'll take a second or two to come on. I'd asked Amy to come and give us a little overview of what's happening with the Healthy Schools Act and everything, so. You don't need a mic?
No, I don't think I need a mic. I think you guys would be much happier if I'm not speaking into a mic with my big loud voice. The PowerPoint's going to be in the back. It doesn't look very dark. So I think no matter where, oh, there we go.
Amy, are there copies for the board?
No, thank you.
Yeah, they're coming around. Starting to come around. So I think I'll just stand here. The PowerPoint isn't elaborate. You don't have to stare at it to really follow along. We've got a bunch of new mandates coming down the pipe to start in September, and these are because of Obama's Healthy Hunger Free Act that was passed in December 2010. So the new mandates start this coming school year, and they will follow really over the course of the next 10 years if you're looking at the sodium targets. The big thing that you have to always start with in school lunch is the menu planning. And that's going to change a little bit. It's going to change for some schools more than others. The food-based menu planning approach is the only option now for school lunch and school breakfast. The good news is we've always used this approach. So we don't have to make any changes as far as this goes. The other option that some schools used to do was nutrient analysis. That's no longer allowed. I personally was never in favor of that, even though it was suggested to me by some consultants that the school hired at one point in time. To give you a reason why I really didn't like that, you could work your menu so that you serve chocolate pudding and omitted fruit. And I think we can all sit here and say, we love chocolate pudding, but it doesn't replace fruit. So that is why I really was not in favor of that, and we never switched. A big change is going to be our age grade groups. You can see what the current, starting in September, age grade groups are going to be. And this is how we have to determine our portion sizes for our students. What we used to have was our primary, K-3, they had one portion size. And then it was kind of big. It was 4 through 12, but you could break that down to 4 through 6. And then do your 7 through 12, which if you think about our pricing for our school lunches, that's what we've always done. Because once kids hit fourth grade, we give them extra things like the deli and the salad bar, which cost more. We also enhance some of the normal school lunch products, like pizza now comes with toppings. It's not just plain cheese. Say a chicken patty, they can have a chicken parm sandwich. So in those regards, they're getting a little more food and they're getting things that cost a little more money. So that's why the price for 4, 5, 6 was more. This is going to present some challenges for us. Scheduling, especially in the elementary, is going to be a big challenge. We, even in our existing kitchen, which is going to change, as you all know, with our kitchen project, we're going to have to be more in tune to the order that the kids come in. You know, in the past, it didn't matter as much, but now when our fifth graders need to get less food than our sixth graders, we can't, for efficiency's sake and for doing things correctly, we can't have our fourth graders come in and then our sixth graders come in and then bounce back to our fifth graders. And especially when we have our reviewers come in, they're going to be skeptical that we're actually serving the correct portions to the correct grade level if we've got kids intermingled. So scheduling is going to be an issue there a little bit, as far as that goes. Students are allowed to choose, and that's really important, especially in the society we live in today, because kids have a lot of choices in their life, food being one of them. For a reimbursable meal, they have to choose 3 out of the 5 components that are served daily. And in the past, they could choose any 3 components that they wanted. But starting in September, fruits and vegetables are going to have to be one of those components. Otherwise, it is not a reimbursable lunch. And that's going to be a tough thing for the school. Because as much as the students pay part of the lunch fee, the government, federal and state, pay a portion of that. They pay all of it for our free students. They pay most of it for our reduced students. And they pay a little bit of it for our paid students. So
So we need reimbursable meals to survive in school lunch. So that's what drives the school lunch program. For students, and we've got a couple here, they can tell you that I am speaking truthfully when I say fruits and vegetables are not the highlight of school lunch, are they, guys? They should be. They should be. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be. And we certainly encourage and offer and try to be creative to a point with those things. But next year, if we're going to count it as a reimbursable, it's got to have a fruit or a vegetable on that tray. So that's going to change. So just so you see quickly here, the five components: fruits, vegetables, grains, meat or meat alternatives, and milk. And we'll kind of go through them quickly and touch upon the things that are going to change. I hope all of you know what foods go in those food categories. If you don't, shame, shame. Okay. All righty. A big change with fruits is you're not going to be able to buy fruits that have sugar added to them. The good news is we never have bought those kind of fruits. So we've always bought either fresh fruits, frozen fruits without, you know, without sugar added, like blueberries and cherries. We have our canned fruits are either light syrup or water pack, fruit pack. So we're good in that department. They aren't going to let any schools that have them in their storerooms use them up. We just can't buy them in the future. And then the other big thing with the fruits is that it's going to increase in serving size for the 9 through 12th graders. So that's good as far as fruit is filling, fruit is sweet, so it's satisfying from that standpoint. Currently, our fruit servings are a half a cup. So our high school students can now choose a cup of fruit a day with their lunch if they so choose to. From a financial point, that's going to double the cost of the fruit with the lunch. So this is being mandated. It is going to increase that portion of school lunch. Keeping in mind that fruit is or vegetable is now mandatory on the tray. The good part for next school year only is as long as they have a half a cup of fruit on their tray, we can count it as a reimbursable meal. But starting in 13-14, it's going to have to be the full cup size. So we're going to play with that a little bit this school year, giving the kids, again, that choice. If they want that full cup, great, take it, eat it, enjoy it. But if they don't, you know, we're not looking for our garbage cans to get heavier. That's not the goal here. So the other thing which can help with your cost and with efficiency is serving juice. But a mandate that's also happening with the fruit is that students are only going to be allowed one serving of juice a day. And we do a great breakfast program here, and obviously most of the students choose juice at breakfast. That's very popular. We have no way to control or to monitor who takes a juice at breakfast, therefore they can't have a juice at lunch. So we won't be serving juice at lunch. Currently, if we serve juice once a week, that's tops. Probably two every 3 weeks we would serve. You know, two times out of 3 weeks we'd serve juice. And it was mostly for an efficiency reason. You know, we had like a blueberry mousse on, so instead of scooping fruit all day, you know, you can throw out some juice, a little bit of fruit, some fresh fruit, and you can work on that mousse. So we won't be doing that because we don't want to be out of compliance in that area. Vegetables are going to take a big change. Not only are vegetables going to be required, you know, fruits or vegetables required now with lunch, they're going to break them into subgroups. The other thing that's changing with the fruits and vegetable as a whole, you know, I talked about the five components. Technically speaking, there really was only four components because in the past, they combined your fruits and vegetables into one. And on any given day, the cafeteria could choose to serve just a vegetable, or they could choose to serve just a fruit. We never really believed in that philosophy here, so we always served a vegetable and a fruit because fruits and vegetables are different. And let's face it, kids are exposed to fruits a lot more than they're exposed to vegetables, and they prefer fruits over vegetables. So they really need to be having these choices daily, and we've always done that. So you can see it's pretty straightforward, your vegetable subgroups, the dark greens, the red oranges, the legumes, the starchy vegetables, and then other vegetables to fill in that requirements that we need for the week. They'd be like green beans, which, you know, carrot. Well, carrot can go in the red orange. Like green beans and wax beans, which are more popular. But a big thing that we've been doing, you know, these mandates have been out there. We know they're coming. So we haven't just been sitting back saying, let's wait until these mandates hit us and then throw it on the school lunch line.
We've been introducing these, we've been trying to do, be more creative. I hate to give away my secrets when we have some students here. You know, lagoons are not very favorable with students, not very favorable with a lot of adults, even though they're good for us and they're healthy. So we take our beans and we initially mush them and put them in like taco meat and nacho meat and even spaghetti sauce. And no one really knew they were in there, but the kids were getting the nutrition of it. And there was a little, as we increased the amount in there, the texture changed a little. And as we kept doing this, by the end of this school year, I'm sure these guys could attest that you'd see pieces of beans in there. And then we started serving rice and beans, right, Brian? And that was really popular, and you could see the whole bean. And some schools, you know, they put like spinach in their spaghetti sauce. It makes the food more nutritious. It gets the product into them. Yes, you eventually want the child to know they're eating spinach, but sometimes that's a creative way to get these unpopular nutritious foods into the children. But that's no longer going to be allowed. You can do it if you want, but it's not going to count for anything, so to speak. And in school lunch, we count everything because we really work on pennies and nickels, so everything counts. So chopping up our beans and putting them in taco meat so they're unrecognizable does not count as a vegetable. So it has to be recognizable in order for it to count. So the student says, I'm choosing to eat spinach, not I'm eating meat sauce that tastes good. Okay? So that's going to be a difference also with the vegetable category. I've spoken a couple times in the past to the board, and people have heard me on and on and on about the whole grains. We know that's been coming, and we really are fine. Next school year, we have to have half of our whole grains. Half of our grains be whole grains, you know, like brown rice instead of white rice, whole grain pizza crust instead of white pizza crust, all those kind of things, and we're pretty much in line with that. The following school year, 13-14, it'll be 100% whole grains. And I've had parents call me and say, what about the white product? You want the white product back. Not going to happen. And whole grains are healthy for us, and they provide fiber and a lot more minerals and vitamins, and we should train our kids to eat whole grains, so that's very good. One area with our new age grade groups that's going to change is our servings of grains. In the past, we were mandated a minimum amount to serve daily and weekly. With the new regulations, we are going to be given a maximum. So you can see 8 to 9, 8 to 10, 10 to 12. This is going, in my opinion, to drastically affect our entrees that we serve the students. I'll use a perfect example, our pasta and meat sauce that we do for the high school students. We're giving them 2 servings of pasta, whole grain, of course. We're giving them 1 serving and a quarter with our garlic bread. That's 3 1/4 servings out of 10. Just take 3 times 5 is 15. That puts us out of compliance. So portion sizes for our entrees are going to decrease next year because of the maximums in the grain department. And I do think we're gonna have some adjustment with the students feeling like, wow, you know, we're not getting as much food this year. When we had K-3 students, and they would get a small serving of rice, now your 5th graders are going to get that same serving of rice. And I think we all know that a kindergartner is going to eat less food than a 5th grader. And this is where I feel the new age ranges, you know, the grade groups are going to be a little tricky to work with, because I truly believe when we hit January, our 3rd graders, we have numerous 3rd graders that all of a sudden want to start buying a second entree. All of a sudden they want that second hot dog, they want another slice of pizza, they want a little more to eat, those 3rd graders in January. Well, we're talking about 5th graders getting that portion now. So I do think, ideally, if we got them all to eat their vegetables and all to eat their fruits, certainly they'd be fuller. But in reality, that's probably not going to happen. So clearly we will still, we've got 8 to 9. We will try to give those K-3 kids 8 and those 4-5 kids 9. If you want to do some simple math, when we talk about 4th and 5th grade, who can have deli? When we talk about K through 5, who can have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Each slice of bread is 1 grain. You're going to eat a PBJ 5 days a week. That's 10 grains. You're only allowed 9. Now, we cannot serve peanut butter and jelly every day of the week. That's going to be a drastic change. We cannot serve deli sandwiches 5 days a week because we are out of compliance. So, what do? Do we serve a half a sandwich and you pay the same price? And you're very happy and satisfied, right? I don't think so. Do we go to diet bread? That might be an option. But 2 slices of diet bread is 1 1/4 bread servings. We're 1/4 over now for the week. Not an option. So do we go to 2 days with diet bread? Maybe. We've increased our food cost. So it's going to be challenging with the deli, and it's going to be challenging with the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for that K-5 age group, because they didn't allow us 2 breads a day in that age group. So that's going to really be difficult to make the kids happy. I personally think a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at lunch is not going to make a student obese. So we are going to have in that group what I'm going to call a 1 bread day. So 4 days out of the week, we can serve 2 breads, whether it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whether it's pasta with a slice of garlic bread. But one day, it's got to be one grain only.
So wrapping? That's
a little more that's 2 breads, so we're going to have to go to a smaller wrap. And especially for our high school kids, we're on taco day, we give them 2 wraps. Probably not going to happen. So those are things we're going to have to cut back on, because the grains, the maximums really are tying our hands. So that's, and again, I stress that this is a mandate from the Healthy Hunger Free Act that was passed. So we certainly want to be in compliance with our program. Our program is a great asset to the school and to the students that we serve. And we're going to have to make a few adjustments and keep them positive. And I think the grains, it is really, as much as the kids are going to take the fruit and vegetables because they're going to want that reimbursable meal. Why do they want the reimbursable meal and I want the reimbursable meal? For them, it's cheaper. When you start paying a la carte prices, you got to pay the full amount because we get no reimbursement from the government. So when the students hear fruit and vegetable and it costs less, they're going to take one of those items because we want that. Where's that item going to go? Hopefully not in the garbage. You know, I always say it's not nutrition until it's in the belly. I got a lot of nutrition.
Okay. Hey, Amy, before you go on, if somebody gets a second entree, what's that do to the grain?
Right now, a la carte foods are not being strictly regulated. Okay. They're supposed to fall in line with these regulations as far as they've got to be whole grains, the sodium and the fat and all of that. Like, you can't serve a slice of pizza with the reimbursable lunch that meets the nutrient requirements and then go and serve this big, goopy, high sodium, trans fat, not whole grain pizza as an a la carte choice. So it has to meet that parameter, but right now they are not regulating that. Personally, I think in the future that is going to be regulated. Personally, I think they're going to tell us, you know, a la carte sales, like double lunches, blah, blah, blah. I think we will be told about that in the future. Personally, I think we'll go there. Maybe not, but I think so. The meat and the meat alternates really aren't changing that much. We're still going to be able to pretty much offer 2 ounces of meat a day at lunch. We used to offer a little less to the K-3 kids, so I don't think that'll be a big adjustment for us with that. And then milk, we've been doing for quite some time. Our fat-free milks can be flavored or unflavored. We do chocolate and strawberry. Our low-fat milk has to be just unflavored white, and we do a 1%. And then you must offer at least 2 choices of milk. So you can't just say, we're just going to offer fat-free white milk. That you can't do that as a district. You have to have 2 choices for the students to choose from. So as far as that, that's not a problem. There are some other dietary specifications that are going to be changing. They're going to be based on weekly averages. The calorie ranges are changing just a little bit. Sodium is changing drastically, and they're giving you 10 years to meet the sodium requirements, because currently, if as a district, we said, we want to be the first one to get there. We want to win this ball game, and we're going to jump right on this. unless you had all fresh product straight from the slaughterhouse in the gardens, you couldn't meet the sodium requirements because our processed food, just cereal in a bowl, you know, has too much sodium. So they have to allow for the manufacturers to make changes also in the regards of sodium. There's going to be no trans fats in school lunch unless they occur naturally, like in meat. We don't serve anything with trans fats anyways. That's big on the market. They've been taking that out of the grocery stores for quite some time, so we don't have to worry about that as far as that goes. But really, another big nuts and bolts of the changes is money. It always comes down to money, it seems like. Our lunch prices per the mandate are going to have to raise 5 cents. If you guys remember last year, we raised our 4, 5, 6, our middle level lunch price and our high school lunch price by a nickel. There was a formula you could use last year. We weren't required to raise our K-3 lunch, so that stayed the same. This year, right across the board, our lunches have to go up by a nickel. That's another mandate, unless the district agrees to pay that nickel for everyone. And I think in the economic times, that probably isn't what's going to happen. So we will ask the board to vote on that, to agree to keep us in compliance with that mandate that we'll raise school lunches 5 cents. So that is one concern of mine, that we're going to really be altering our entrees, especially, as I said, I won't repeat myself, but yet we're raising our lunch price. So when we go to the grocery store and we recognize my box of pastas, $1.99, but it's not 16 ounces anymore, it's down to 13 ounces, but it's still $1.99. What we're going to do is make it $2.25 in 13 ounces. And that's a mandate. So it's kind of making the scale a little unbalanced. The goal from the federal government is that our paid lunches, K-12, will reach $2.51, which they say will equal out the reimbursement. What they say and what their feelings is that if you are capable of paying for your school lunch, you need to pay the full amount and have no reimbursement from the federal government or the state, and that your school lunch price should equal what the government is reimbursing the school. So that is our magic number that they want us to reach. What they're currently telling us is we have to raise 5 cents a year until we get there. So do the math. You know, our K-3 kids are at $1.50. We've got to raise it a buck. And we can take all those years to get there at this point. What's a little unclear is some schools raise 10 cents, 25 cents. You know, I'm the first one that did not want high school lunch to be $2.05. Who wants to deal with 95 cents change? A lot of our high school kids ask for their change back. That's kind of time-consuming for the cashiers. It's an area for error, inefficiency. But on the flip side, we really wanted to caution, Beth and I, go on the side of caution and not raise it 10 cents and then this year still have to raise another 5 cents. So I know a couple schools that raised up and they really weren't clear if they were going to have to raise again this year. So I don't know where that all fell out. But we're trying to go kind of on the side of caution and just go the nickel at a time. But it's also tedious to, you know, tell the parents, okay, lunch went up 5 cents last year, now it's going up another 5 cents this year. You know, that's kind of tedious too, a little bit. But we are trying to keep the best interests of the district at heart. And then the other thing that came out of this new Healthy Hunger Free Act is that if we do all these changes and we comply, it's called the 6 cent rule. They're going to give us 6 cents on every reimbursable meal because we've made these adjustments and these changes, and they recognize that it is going to increase our food cost and in some cases our labor efficiency. So labor costs are going to go up. Initially they said this sounds good on paper but there's no money. So that's what I reported last year. This sounds good on paper but there's no money. So you're going to do it but you're really not going to get the 6 cents. So the good news is this year they're telling us there really is going to be 6 cents. So that's very promising. A lot of the districts are concerned. They're concerned about, you know, reimbursable meals going down. They're concerned about the students being satisfied with the lunches and with the portion sizes that are offered. And we, believe it or not, we do have a fair number of kids who you know, don't like some of the whole grain products and different things like that. So there are schools that are pushing for opt out. I want to opt out. We want to run our school program the way we're running our school program, and thank you, but you keep your 6 cents. We were told in June this is not an option. So we'll gladly keep our 6 cents, but you're out of the school lunch program. And I think everybody can recognize that that would greatly hurt the district. At the end of the school year, we had 36% of our students on free and reduced lunch. Those children need to eat. We need the school lunch program. We certainly, you know, we can have a private school lunch program where we just charge X amount of money and kids buy if they want. That's not going to help our 36% free and reduced kids. And that, and we really need to focus on that, because those students need to eat breakfast and they need to eat lunch, as do the rest of the students in our district. So there's going to be a lot of paperwork that has to be done, mostly by me. Beth will probably have to oversee a few things that we have to send in to SED for compliance, and they will approve us. Hopefully, that's our goal. A few lucky schools are going to get audited, and they're going to come and do site visits. We'll pray we're not one of those schools with our building project. Normally, it wouldn't bother me that much, because we do a great job here. The women that work here do a great job, and we really put our best foot forward for the district and the students. But we're going to be a little busy with our hands tied, so with the project, so we'll hope that doesn't happen to us. There is no money before October 1st, and your paperwork has to reflect menus from October 1st on. So we'll try to get that stuff into SED. As we know, they're going to be getting tons of paper, tons of schools. We're going to all try to get our acts together and get that money as quickly as we possibly can. And so we'll see. But they are going to be strict. You know, you heard me talk about, you know, this just puts us a quarter of a grain over. We got to be in the ranges. So menu planning is gonna balloon. That's going to be really the heart of it right there. But we're going to do our best to meet these mandates. And as 13-14 comes, and there's a few more mandates, and 13-14 is when we get into the whole breakfast mandates, which with the lunch mandates and the building project, we're sitting on breakfast right now. Breakfast is in pretty good shape anyways. And we're lucky because our lunch program isn't that far off the mark either. You know, our last review that we had, which reviews 9 nutrients and the different components, we were only out of compliance. We were 30 calories short, and we were a little short in fiber. So we really did a fantastic job on that. So I'm not as concerned about that, but we've got to move forward, and hopefully with the blessing of the district and the board and the students. You know, ultimately we want to please the students. Anybody have questions?
I just had a comment. Something came to mind, and I'm looking at coaches over here, and I'm thinking, when my kids competed here, they heard about nutrition and health, but they didn't hear anything from their coaches. When they went away to college, it was a big thing. Every coach that I know of at UNH had got these kids, and the other ski teams in the league did the same thing. They had seminars that the kids had to go to learn about nutrition. If we could have the athletes be models for these kids, yeah, this is good stuff. You have to eat this. It might rub off on the rest of the school population.
I think our school does a decent job with nutrition education, you know, K through 12. Like you say, a lot of it's in health class. Different grade level teachers do different things. Our fourth grade team does the Think Breakfast program every year. They come down to the cafeteria. I talk to them. We call it a field trip to the cafeteria. We do a grade level breakfast. So I do think we do a good job, but I think positively we could put more emphasis on nutrition education.
I think use the athletes as models. They're models anyway for a lot of the kids.
Right.
And it's cool to eat spinach. Yeah.
We could definitely do more in that department.
Apart from this public presentation, I'm sure you're preparing some materials to send home to parents, just to kind of give them a heads up as to what's coming.
We are. Actually, I sent Beth and Vince a copy of a letter that was devised from the state in June after I went to our meeting in Queensbury, and we're going to probably use that letter and adapt it a little bit, but we're definitely will make sure information, we haven't totally discussed it, but I kind of get things in my head and then tell Beth, and she's usually good about agreeing. We send home one family free and reduced application, and so that saves the district money because we do a family mailing, and we'll probably include that stuff in that family mailing with the free and reduced lunch. That comes out about mid-August. So we definitely have already started planning for that letter that would inform them of some of the changes that are going to happen. Yeah. Because certainly, you know, they need to know why, and a lot of them aren't, you know, when I get field the phone calls or the emails, you know, where's the, you know, the one? My daughter loves school lunch, but not so much wheat, you know. Well, it's a mandate, and the mom didn't know. You know, then she can also better talk with the children at home, which is good.
This was very helpful in understanding what we have to do, what we need to do, so I appreciate the presentation.
You're welcome. Anything else?
Amy,
thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Will it affect your reimbursement for kids who, like, I have a daughter who can't have dairy products very often. She can only have so many a week, her body doesn't break down.
I didn't go into special dietary needs, and we have students that have peanut allergies, tree nut allergies, dairy allergies. Those are big ones. Right now, we're very fortunate. We don't have, like, celiac disease, and we don't have, you know, some of those other health issues. But, you know, we have a renal student who has a lot of restrictions. Those, is, I coordinate with the nurse, and we get a doctor's note, and then they can have their dietary restrictions. So that doesn't, no. That actually is a really big thing. You can't imagine how many kids come to us and say, but I don't like milk, so I want juice. Really sorry, but you can't have juice. And how many parents write me notes saying, Susie doesn't prefer milk, please give her a juice. Really sorry, but she can't replace milk with juice. And, you know, and that's staying within the requirements of the mandates of the federal lunch program. But any doctor prescribed dietary restrictions, we honor them to the best of our ability. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next thing I have is Randy's going to give a summary of what has happened or transpired this year in transportation. Jack?
Yes, we did. Amy, nice job. I certainly won't be on the top of that presentation. And the good news is that nothing is changing major in how we facilitate transportation next year. So much of what I'm going to tell you is it's already been in the state of the district and the last time I was here for the board meeting, a lot of those things. Just want to say we completed another successful year without incident. Our drivers and staff did a tremendous job in a very challenging profession. And I'll bore you with statistics, as always. Our total fleet mileage for the year ending the 30th of June was 254,589 miles. Of that mileage, our athletic trips, we traveled 11,723 miles, and our field trips were 6,754 miles. The number of students that we transported daily, and that would include our rural routes, private school transportation, special ed, out-of-district runs, homeless student transportation to Kenny Bento, field trips and athletic events, 883 students transported daily. So that would be St. Mary's, 14 rural routes, St. Mary's, Southshire, Greenwich, Sayak, Bosey's, Myers, Bosey's, Oak Hill School in Scotia. And we had, the last several months of school, we had a homeless student that was placed in Malta and then eventually in Albany. We were traveling back and forth to Albany every day. Our total fleet size is 27 buses total. We just compiled up the fuel usage for the month of June so that I could have a year-long tally. And this was something that I had talked about in our, the last time I was here. We actually, this year, used 24,014 gallons of diesel fuel. Compared to the last year at the bus garage, which was just 4 years ago, 2007-2008, we used 33,807 gallons. So we saved nearly 10,000 gallons in diesel fuel in the last 4 years. And a lot of that's because of the bus garage facility, the fact that the buses are inside, we don't have to run them. We actually can't run them by law. That was the reason that we had to have a facility where we can store the buses in, because we are on school property now. Even though the old property was school property, we were disconnected enough that we didn't run the buses. And just to sum up, finally, our maintenance staff, I can't emphasize enough the tremendous job that they do. I don't have the current pass-fail rate percentage for this year. I don't expect that until possibly the end of this month or early August. But this past year, it was 96.6%. We have one of the best maintenance programs in the area. We're currently ranked by the New York State DOT in the top 10% of all districts in the state in DOT pass inspection pass-fail rate. And I just want to add, and I did mention this the last time, the hiring of our current assistant mechanic, he's been fabulous. He's been a perfect complement to our head mechanic. His mechanical skills, but he also brings to the table expertise in welding, fabrication, and more importantly, body work, which is a major expense for us if we have to send it out. Last year, we were able to do all of our panel replacements and paint work and repairs of that nature in-house and saved a tremendous amount of labor costs. And we haven't had that ability to do those type of repairs in quite a few years. So it's been a great thing, and it'll be a fantastic thing going forward. And that's about all I have. Any questions?
Boring is good. Boring is good, Randy.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you,
Randy. Thank
you. The next person I'd like to introduce is John Jojo. He is the architect on the... this is probably a good time to point out, in number D, it says 8.3 million. It should be 8.03 million. It's 8,037,000, so it shouldn't be 8.3. And usually, to make things easier in the future, what we're going to do is we're just going to call it Project 2011, because it makes it easier from our standpoint to keep track of the building projects if they're by a year. So the 8.03 is probably the last time you're going to see it written that way. It'll be Project 2011, the year in which it was approved by the voters. But I asked John to come and do a quick overview, because that's down on number letter D to be approved tonight, the bidders for the project. So, the floor is yours, John.
Thanks, Vince. I noticed that also, so way to cut that. Dr. Brown and fellow board members, it's been set up to John Jojo from Mosaic Associates, the district architect. I've been working behind the scenes with district administrators, building committee, energy committee, folks like Amy who had just
Excuse
left.
Me, is your mic on?
I don't think it is.
Is your mic on?
Well,
it's a red button.
Oh,
I'll get a little closer.
There you go.
So behind the scenes, we've had a lot of discussions, and tonight is the culmination of all those sometimes heated discussions, compromises that we've had to endure, and quite frankly, bids that we took on the 28th of June actually far exceeded my expectations. We actually were able to take a substantial amount of alternates in the project that I was hesitant trying to put into the base bid. I know you've got a board packet, and I'm really here to answer any questions that you might have tonight. When you look at the bid report, and specifically the bidders that we got on each trade, we had a tremendous outpouring of contractors. So the bids that we did take were very competitive. Some of the numbers were so close that it was quite shocking. The only issue that we had, as you probably saw, the asbestos contractor backed out. His number was, obviously there was some kind of error in that, so we did take that. We talked to Jeff Honeywell, and according to the general municipal law, we do have to allow him to basically walk away from his obligation from his bid, and we went to the second low bidder. But even with that additional cost, obviously, is the numbers were still fantastic. So there's a few items that we really did not take. I guess I could really talk about them. One of them is the piping from the boiler room to the cafeteria area. I looked at it as an alternate because the piping that's in that area is about 60 years old. And anyone who has a home in that age, it's not really the piping I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the valves and the joints, because those are always areas of possible leaks. The valves don't last forever, so they need to be replaced. So I won't be shocked that when we start working on the piping for the kitchen itself, that some of those valves may need to get replaced between the boiler room and the kitchen itself. So I just wanted to kind of like make sure that I really say that to you, that it would have been nice to do the alternate. It was something that I saw at looking at it wasn't really a discussion amongst any committee members, because it's kind of behind the scenes. Nobody really sees the piping that goes to your water source. So that was, to me, that was one thing I wanted to bring up and make sure that you knew about.
John, if you could do maybe an explanation as to what we consider a base bid and alternates. It's not that we were adding things.
We really weren't. We didn't add things. Like base bid, when we looked at doing the paving, for instance, the committee had brought to my attention that some of the paving out front had already been done in the past 5 or 8 years. Obviously, some catch basins are decaying around those areas. So we try not to do work that was already built, so to speak. So we really try to pay attention. But what I had mentioned to the building committee was that if you're going to be doing the entire campus new paving, wouldn't it make good sense to do everything? So we got 15 or 20 years before it actually needs to be replaced again in kind. So that's one of the reasons why we actually had an alternate to do that. Other areas that we talked about alternates, there were some areas of painting that we included in the base bid. Some other areas that we had excluded because we thought that we were going to be obviously over our $8,037,000 number. Heating, for instance, I'll give you another one. We asked for an alternate for the elementary side cafeteria. There's an air handler that's off the stage, but also about 60 years old. Bud's been doing some retrofit work on it, so we know that it had rebuilt parts to it. So we really felt that because it's 60 years old and there rebuilt parts, would it be nice to get it as part of this project? Yes. Unfortunately, when we looked for our numbers, because we had the asbestos guy back out, that really kind of made me uneasy. I'm a guy who likes to gamble, but I won't gamble with your money. I can tell you that. So I didn't feel that it would be prudent to try to spend right to that edge of that limit. It's always nice to have something in reserve. We're going to be opening walls. You know, we did our best to look at like where asbestos elbows might be. You know, we had a survey done. But if we have a common wall and the walls actually go to the underside of the deck, we can't see through the wall. So we have to put in some kind of allowance to maybe take care of any asbestos that might be encountered when we start tearing walls down. So unfortunately, that's one of the reasons why this air handler was put on the back burner. But as the project matures and we're closer to the end, if we do have money that's left over, it'll still be your option whether or not we can go back and revisit that. We can always certainly ask the contractor later on to re-quote. Usually they hold the prices, but by our contract, they only have to hold the prices for 45 days. So it'll be a year from now before we possibly revisit that. And I've had good luck in the past where people will keep their numbers unless there's something substantial with the construction industry. Other alternates, I don't really see that there's other large ticket item for alternates in itself. As you saw, there's a number of bids that we took. The asbestos number was fairly large, and that's one of the reasons why we asked to do that as a prime bid. I have been in contact with the low bidder for general construction. There were some specific items that I wanted the district to have. For instance, we're finishing a window project that was previously started. I wanted the windows to match. We're going to get that. I've confirmed with that. The skylights will also be the cow wall system, which is currently all that obscure glass above your clear glass. The only issue that I'm currently wrestling with is the bleachers. We're going to have a discussion with the GC on that. And that's really the only item. Not really for you to worry about. I know from experience that people play ball in the gym, not only basketballs, but in bad weather, sometimes the baseball team comes inside. Well, I'm concerned that not when we throw the ball, or maybe I'm not supposed to be using bats in there, but it does happen. It can't be pleased. We're going away from a wood bleacher. We're going to have a nice contoured, it's a plastic seat. It's called a blow molded seat. It's probably the most heavy duty seat that you can get in the industry. And we're getting a substitution on the seat, which I know the one that they're trying to give me, I've had bad luck in the past. So we're going to have a little discussion with that. And, you know, I'll hold the specification, but you may hear some grumblings through the superintendent because usually they try to go over my head and get some relief. So, other than that, the bids went fine. It was better than I thought. If anybody has specific comments or questions of why we took something or not, or why things were not included, I can only say that the building committee, we met quite often. So I think we had a good discussion. We had some compromises, and I think we had a majority of vote about what alternates that we were going to take and what we were going to do at Space Bay. And I hope everyone feels that way that was on the committee.
Anyone have any questions for John?
No, I'd just like to comment. It's been a pleasure working with John over the last 6 or 8 or 10 months, John, now?
Well,
or more than that.
The magazine's almost 2 years.
Yeah, is it that long? Yeah. And there have been a lot of compromises in the building committee. So that what we have in front of us to vote on tonight is a group decision and guided by these two gentlemen, but it was a group decision by the building committee. There's a lot of stuff I would like to see in there which didn't make it, but we all had to give up things.
Thank you, John. That's it for me. Who would like to go? Thank you, Strong.
I can go as fast as anybody. For my board report, I will. I just simply wanted to pull out recognition to some of the students and the sixth grade students. So congratulations to the following grade 6 students on receiving statewide awards. The Triple C Award for Character, Commitment, and Courage was awarded to Keenan McCauley and Christiana Rower. The New York State Comptroller's Award for Academic and Civil Achievement, Elizabeth Ashton Fassine and Gretchen Blackburn and Delaney Hill. And the American Legion Awards that are given for Leadership, Patriotism, Scholarship, and Service to Bryony Nolan and Eli Robertson. I also do want to say that the sixth grade class that is leaving us and going into seventh grade was a wonderful group. We enjoyed having them, and I think they'll be very successful in the secondary.
Thank you.
The treasurer's report reflects the month of June. As you can see, the general fund is it's an expensive month. Not only do we have our bond payments, but we also have the large payroll. So my money goes real fast that month. We're ending the month though, we're in good shape cash-wise. I see no problems, you know, getting through the summer, no need to borrow. We have plenty of cash on hand. Is there any questions on the treasurer's report? In the addendum is I was able to get the school lunch numbers together for the year. I'm happy to report that we have a profit of over $35,000. This shows 4 years of history here. You can see the first year, the 2009, when we came on board, the general fund was putting an infusion of $75,000. That's been reduced to $20,000. It's in the budget for next year. I would recommend, given the project, that we keep that. But I'd like to see maybe eventually starting to wean the school lunch program off with the help of the general fund.
What do they have in the fund balance?
A little over
$93,000.
Are there any questions with the school lunch program?
Amy does a very nice job. I'm not saying that because she's...
She has a great group of women working for her, and they do a very good job. They work very hard. I could not do that job.
Under amazing restrictions.
Yes.
It's going to be very interesting next year. We will not start the work on the kitchen until the temporary kitchen is installed out back, but it is hopefully going to come back by December, right, John?
He's gone.
But I'm still counting on if we can get the kitchen back by and the cafeteria by February, I'd be happy. So we will be feeding the students in the auditorium next year, so there's going to be a big problem with eating events and stuff. Because there's portions of the serving line that we cannot remove. It's got to stay there. So it'll be interesting next year. But until the temporary kitchen goes in, we won't even start demolition of the interior kitchen.
So and she should... Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I was just going to say, we'll probably see increased labor costs, increased supply and material costs. She has to go to a lot of throwaway. Mm-hmm. So it's good that she's got a nice solid foundation, because she probably won't see these kind of results next year. But we know that, and we'll get through it.
That's
all.
Thank you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'll just talk about it. I'm a big fan. Okay, I got it covered.
Summer curriculum work at the secondary has begun. There were 55 days awarded with priority given to teachers who requested time to work on curriculum mapping with Rubicon Atlas. So those days are awarded. They'll be completed by, we have a date set of August 24th for the completion. And typically I do ask that the teachers submit a product, but in the case of curriculum mapping, we'll have a product and that I'll have access to and be able to review. Graduation and the awards night went very well. Thank you to the board members who were able to make it. I did want to say thank you to Ms. Goss, Ms. Alexander, Ms. Jones, and Ms. Eastman for the planning that goes into those two nights. There is a lot that goes into making sure that all the awards and all of the programming and things are put in order so that it can go as smoothly as possible. And Dr. Volsky, we were under 52 minutes this year, so I had to stop watching. Summer school is underway, and I know Mrs. McDonald is getting ready to order Regents exams. We had that email. Yeah, it's done. So summer school is underway. We do have some students who are also involved this year in doing some credit recovery as well, who were successful on exams but need course credit. So we've been trying to come up with some creative solutions to getting credit recovery for a few of our students as well. And I also supplied some year in review data, particularly one area where we made a lot of progress was in the area of attendance. I know that parents were always thrilled to get those auto-generated threshold letters that your child has missed 5 days, 10 days, 15, and so on. But we did meet our goal of having 95% attendance. So I think the letters, as well as the automated call system and the personal calls, went a long way to helping with that number. So I know that the threshold letters sometimes cause a little concern for some parents, but I do think it's important for parents to know when a child gets to those thresholds, even if they are excused absences, when they're not in school, it does affect their education.
What's grade 14 refer to?
Those are students who are ungraded, so they would be our life skills students.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
We're in the section of the BOE report and discussion.
I think everybody's talking up to it. I don't really have anything to say. I did go to the building committee, but we have covered that.
my best.
I also wanted to commend the organizers of the award ceremony. That was my first one. I wasn't able to go last year. I went this year, and I have to say I was thoroughly impressed. It was actually lovely, is what I would say, and I do not enjoy sitting in these chairs. But I think it was just beautifully done. Obviously, it was the students that really made it what it was, but the people behind it should be commended. The other item under new business, we have item B on our agenda to recommend the board accept the letter of intent to retire from Mr. Canini in 2014. I last week notified all the board members that I intended to make a motion at the next board meeting to extend Mr. Canini's contract. I did it at the next board meeting because I think it would give everybody time to find the necessary information and prepare themselves. And in light of that, I would just like the board to consider tabling item B under new business until the next meeting. That's all I have.
I'd like to congratulate the sixth graders myself. I did get to that one. I'm sorry I missed graduation, but vacation called.
Did you time it?
No.
I thoroughly enjoyed that one too. I didn't mean to leave.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you guys were in stiff competition.
It's healthy competition.
I actually had a client come in today who's one of whose grandchildren was in that ceremony, and she said she was regretting she never wrote a nice letter to the paper that you guys deserved. She said it was a wonderful and nice ceremony. And I would just like to echo Paul's comments on the tabling of item B in new business.
I would like to thank everybody for me being sitting here tonight. I'm honored to serve on the board. I did want to talk about, real quickly, you mentioned those letters that you get for attendance. My daughter has orthodontist appointments really early in the morning, so I got one of those, so you probably heard from me before. Yep. Wish she explained to me what that was about, so.
I definitely sympathize with you.
You did, yeah, I bet. Because I was trying to be a good parent and do it in the morning so that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm glad to hear you report out on the students that are doing so well in the elementary for great things.
I, too, would like to thank you for being up here. It is an honor to be here. And I promise everyone that I will do my best to do what I need to do to facilitate for our students, our community, and our district. Old business? Okay. New business. There's a recommendation to consider approval of consent agenda as listed in the consent agenda for personnel and consent agenda for new business. I'm sorry. Recommend the approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
The next one, there's been a recommendation on the table and seconded by Tom, I'm misquoting, please let me know, in regards to the tabling Mr. Canini's letter of intent for retire. I certainly support that discussion and tabling tabling the retirement letter, and would like to recommend along with the table that this board at the end of the meeting adjourns into executive session to discuss this evening.
Second. You're making a motion that we table.
I'm making a motion that we table to go into executive session to have further discussion in regards to that. And I would like to, I know your opinion already, but I do want to publicly say this, that I would like to recommend and invite you to have that discussion with us in executive session.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Recommend that the board approve the following resolution to restore the following sports that were cut from the 2012-13 budget due to extra funding from the Senate. Boys soccer, golf, wrestling, volleyball, boys and girls track, lacrosse, and cheerleading.
Second.
Any discussion?
The funding is not considered state aid, so it will be outside of the budget. This will be an amendment to that. So it does not replace the sports back into the budget. That's the only thing I want to make sure everybody understands. It just offers them next year.
Okay. So this would be something, if I'm understanding, Vince, that we would have to look at again the following year?
Correct.
Okay. Any discussion? I believe we have a second, right? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you to the Booster Club for all
yes,
of my
thank you.
Yes.
And also, I would like to take a moment not only to thank the Booster Club, but I would like to thank publicly Mr. Canini and the previous board for their efforts. Without that, this would not happen. So thank you.
Okay.
Recommend the board award the bids to the Project 2011. That's okay to call it that.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
There's E on the agenda.
Thank you. Yep. Recommend the board approve the following resolution. Due to the Healthy Hungry Free Act of 2010 to increase the full price of lunch for K-3 from $1.50 to $1.55, 4-6 from $1.80 to $1.85, and 7-12 from $2.05 to $2.10. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any public comments? At this time, I would like to recommend that we adjourn this meeting and go into executive session under, I'm sorry.
There's two items in the executive session we need to discuss.
Okay, yes, two items. And it's my understanding that would be personnel? Okay. Somebody want a second?
Oh, I'll second. Okay.
And also,
we will not come back in the public session.
We will not come back.
So you will not come back in the public session.
Okay. In regards to the tabling component of the one, would we be coming back into executive session or the public?
Everyone okay with that? Okay.
Okay, thank you. Everyone in favor?
Nay.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody wants
to talk. No, I
just am hearing. What we're doing is adjourning to go into executive session for personnel. One of the issues is a discussion about the table recommending accepting of the letter of the resignation of the superintendent. And the discussion that we were having was whether we were anticipating whether we were going to be coming back out of that executive session and making any decisions. And at this time, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the board has decided that we will not be coming back out to make a decision that, yeah, we'll make that decision in August.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, did you get my name? I voted against moving into executive session because I believe one of the two items we'll be discussing is really public session material. That's my opinion. I'll be sitting in the executive session for one of the items, which is, I believe, not Mr. Kennedy. I will not be available to the board for the discussion on Mr. Dean's contract. And I believe it should be done in public. But that's just me.
No, that's probably correct on that, Paul. I think that's more than you should.
Can you explain that?
I can, but I won't.
I mean, is this a legal issue under the open meetings law, or no?
My opinion.
You think that it's not in accordance with the open meetings law to go into the
meeting session? No, we're not talking about open meetings. We're talking about whether this should be discussed in public, as we did last month.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine. Yes. That's what I was asking. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we can adjourn. Thank you very much.
Carrie, I have to, you have, can you be available tomorrow? I have to have a signature.
Absolutely.
For a bond closing on Wednesday.
Yep.
Or Friday.
Yep.
All right.